So we're going to be in 1 Peter 3, 13 through 17. Now, in this passage, Peter is talking to us about standing for Jesus. This whole passage we're going to be covering from 13 to 17 tells us to stand for Jesus. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it out loud, and you guys know, and for you guys visiting, listen, don't let me offend you. Let the word of God offend you. Amen. So in other words, if I say something you don't like, you just say, okay, Lord, I got it. And instead of going, I don't like Pastor John, and it'll be a better day. So the reality is, let me say this out loud. If you cannot stand for Jesus Christ, then I am willing to say you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'm telling you, if you love Jesus, you will stand for Jesus. Amen. Baptism. Baptism is a public profession that says, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It's clear. Look at me. I love Jesus. If you talk to me, it won't be long before you realize I love Jesus. And Peter says, hey, listen, guys, because he's dealing with persecuted Christians. In this passage, he is talking about and to those who have been persecuted in the past and those who will be persecuted in the future. Now, in America, we've been blessed. Amen. We've had the right and the privilege to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ day in and day out. Radio, podcast. By the way, I have a podcast. All right, I won't go there. And so if you, that was bad. That was such a bad plug-in. Anyway, shameless plug-in. But no, we have this freedom, right? Listen, we got books on shelves. We have Christ on the radio. We have Christians all over America who have the freedom to preach the gospel. But that freedom is slowly dissipating. Persecution is coming in. And Christians are surrendering to it, which just kind of befuddles my mind. For those of you who know me, you already know what I'm about to say. For those of you who don't know me, you're about to find out. I am a rebellious soul. I'm just going to tell you right now, I do not come up to me and tell me what I have to do if it is not by this. If this doesn't confirm it, I'm ignoring it. Amen? That's just where I stand. And then I've even had some people go, well, Pastor John, that's not real nice of you. Okay, God told me to be kind. He didn't tell me to be nice. Well, Pastor John, a Christian wouldn't do that. Well, the Bible says that I would do that. Well, Pastor John, I don't like it. Okay. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like at what point do we just go, thus says the word of God, I'm going to live and die by it. And that's what Peter's saying here. As we get into this, you're going to see Peter says, and he probably says it more kind than me. I don't know, but here's what he says. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And I will tell you this, we probably won't get past 14. But I want to give you the whole idea of the thought here, and then we'll start breaking it down. It's probably going to take me 4 weeks to get through 5 verses. But by the time I do, you're going to go, I got it. Hopefully. Verse 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? And we're going to talk about what is good, right? Because if we look at what is good, I can ask 100 people, especially out on the street. I go out on the street and I go, hey, what's good? And I could get 100 different answers. Amen. And listen, 100 different answers are not going to line up with this. I can assure you. And we have a nation of perversion right now. And so I know it's not going to line up with the scriptures. And so what is good? And we have to understand what's good. And we will by the end of today. Verse 14, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. You notice Peter is saying, listen, the world, those who do not know Jesus Christ, they're going to threaten you. They're going to bring hardship onto you. If you believe this, expect a problem from the world that doesn't believe it. Don't be shocked if you're persecuted because you love Jesus. The Bible says it's going to happen. Don't be shocked if people think, oh, why do you read the Bible? That's the silliest thing ever. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. The question isn't, is it going to happen to me? The question is, what am I going to do when it does? Amen? All right. Some of you are looking at me like you wish the baptism was the end of the service. But hey, it's just the beginning. Here we go. So he says, verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. You know, because I'm telling you that Christians are going to get attacked. And here he says, you know what? You live your life in such a way that those who attack you will be ashamed for doing so. Those who attack you will have to step back and go, oh, man, I need to stop. That's how we live our life. Amen. Verse 17, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Father, thank you for all that is here. And Lord, I pray your hand upon this service, your hand upon me. Lord, that as we read your word, we take it, Father, and we apply it personally. Whether we need strength to stand strong or, Father, we need to quit attacking, whatever it is, Lord, that we look into your word and we live and die by it. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we see an escalating hostility toward Christianity in America, not just America, guys, we're seeing it throughout the world today. If you turn on the news on anything other than the news and you actually go to real world news, you would see Christians are being persecuted. It wasn't but about 5-6 months ago that we had, I think it was 21, 27 Christians that were imprisoned and were being abused for one reason, because they believed in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. 2 years ago, the Muslims, and this isn't popular, I'm not attacking anyone, we're just talking about what's real, and so please listen to what I'm saying and not be offended with what I'm saying. The Muslims took 13 Christians, set them on the beach, lined them up one after another, and for one reason, they were Christians. There was no other reason. And it's because they were considered infidels, and because they were infidels, they had to be beheaded. Because they believed in Jesus and not Allah. Guys, I'm telling you, and by the way, nobody's chopping heads off of someone that believes in Allah. There is a persecution, and a persecution that is coming to America. We will not be able to escape what's coming. We can only stand for what is coming. But I'm going to tell you, the hostility has been decades and centuries old because Peter's talking about it. Amen. Listen, they were preaching the gospel. They get arrested. When they get arrested, they're thrown into prison. They're beaten. And then the government says, okay, all right, we're going to let you guys out of jail now, but don't you dare mention the name of Jesus. And Peter says, do we listen to man or do we listen to God? You can judge. They let him go, and the first thing they did was went out and preached Jesus. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, you're going to have to make a decision at some point in your life. And if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to have to stand. And if you don't stand, do you really believe? Peter gives 5 principles to believers that need to embrace and defend and equip ourselves against the threats of an unbelieving, hostile world. In the next few weeks, this is what we're going to be talking about. Today, we're going to talk about a passion for goodness. That is what we're talking about today, is a passion for goodness. And do you have the passion for goodness? Do you have a passion for Jesus Christ? Or here's a better question. Do you just have religion? So many people are just religious, right? So many people believe until that belief gets in the way. And then they don't believe anymore. Or they run and they hide, which says they don't believe anymore. Do you have Jesus, which is a relationship, or do you have religion? That will determine whether you stand or you run. That will determine whether you speak up or you're silent. See, we'll be known by our fruits. We'll be known by what we do and what we say. And usually what we do is way, way louder than what we say. Amen? How many times you've seen people go, don't do as I do as I say. And you're like, yeah, hypocrite, got it. I mean, right? How many do that? Because what do? We pay attention to what people do because what they do is really what they believe. Parents used to always say, I mean, my dad, because you guys probably all had wonderful parents. I didn't. My mom was wonderful. My dad needed work. So anyway, but my dad would say, do as I say, don't do as I do. Don't smoke as he's smoking. Don't drink as they're drinking, right? I mean, yeah, and it was like, gotcha, Dad. And then what do I do? Everything that he said not to do. But I think if he would have lived it rather than just talked about it, I might have been a little more obedient. I don't know. Remember I said it was rebellious? I don't know. Anyway, so we're going to talk about a passion for goodness. 1 Peter 3:13 says, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? The reality is, guys, that's a rhetorical question that Peter's asking, because he realizes, and remember, he's already talking to those who have been persecuted. But who are we supposed to be afraid of? Who are we supposed to fear harming us? We don't fear any of them. And when we talk about who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? What is good? And good generally refers to a life characterized by generosity, unselfishness, kindness, thoughtfulness toward others. If we look in Psalm 33:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. That is key, right? We feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we should be growing and we should be encouraged and we should be strengthened and we should be equipped. How? By feeding or focusing on Jesus Christ. So many Christians today are defeated because you are in hot pursuit of the world and not the gospel. You are taking, well, the law says it's okay. I'm telling you what, we have a corrupt and immoral law. Have anyone noticed this? I mean, the law is allowing criminals to go free. Come on. When have we ever lived in a day when it's like, yep, you're a mass murderer, but you can go ahead and do more because we need more room in the space for those who are patriots. Go. That seems to be what it is. I mean, I know I'm being sarcastic there, but that seems to be what it is. Amen. And so Psalm 37:3 says, feed on his faithfulness. And then we have Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Guys, we're to do good. What is good? It is to be kind and be generous and unselfish and thoughtful toward others. That's the good. And that would exemplify Christ. If you notice, it is putting others before you. It's putting others before you in every situation. Every one of us, right? None of us are exempt from this. Galatians 6:9-10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Do you know how many times people, they just quit coming to church? I just need a break. I can't take anymore. Life has got me down. The last place you need to leave is church. Amen. The last place you leave is where you're getting fed and loved on and encouraged and equipped to handle the things of the world. You leave church, you leave God. Now you're living in the world to do what? That which the world shows you to do? That which the world encourages you to do? You do not see on the news where it says go to church. You don't see on the news where it says read your Bible. You don't see on the news where it says follow Jesus. You don't see on the news where it says anything about God except for curse be God, curse the church. The church is evil. The church is bad. Don't go to church. They're hypocrites. They're hateful. They're bigots because we don't accept the world. You can't follow the world and expect God to encourage you, strengthen you, and to bless you, because you will not be doing good. Titus 1:8. In Titus 1:8, it says, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded. That word sober-minded literally means with clear thinking. Nothing hindering your thoughts. Just, holy, and boy, there's a big word right there, self-controlled. Self-controlled. People will call me up, Pastor, I need help. Okay, let's talk about it. Well, I'm doing this. Well, stop doing that. I can't. Then how can I help you? I just need an answer. I'm giving you an answer. Stop. Just stop. I can't. I can't. And you know, the crazy thing is when we do wrong or someone does wrong, we expect forgiveness. We justify it. We explain it away and we want others to forgive us, but we're not willing to extend the same grace to them. We just want to point a finger. Well, you did this and you did that. Well, what did you do? Nothing. You're the guilty one because we have failed to have self-control, and self-control literally means denying yourself. Denying yourself. When you know it's wrong. Denying yourself. And man, that is a struggle for so many. And guys, I'm guilty of it at times too. And I love Sella's cherries. Amen. How many like Sella's cherries? Not the knockoff brand Queen Anne's or whatever it is. We're talking Sella's. Milk chocolate. I don't care if they're real cherries or not. And I think I got, I don't know, somewhere around 18 boxes of it this year. And I'm down to two. I'm successful. Now, and I mean, I'm sitting there eating them. And it's like, man, I shouldn't be eating these things like this. Right? And so my wife will say, well, then stop. I will. When the box is empty, I will stop eating them. So, and then I'm like, put on my pants. Whoo, getting a little tight. Right? What's the problem? No self-control. It's not the chocolate. It's me. There's no self-control. And so we need self-control. For 3 John 11 says this, beloved, by the way, just anyway, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Don't be like the world. I'm telling you, there's nothing good out there. There's nothing good out there. But what is good? What is good? Remember we talked about it, generosity, unselfishness, kindness, thoughtfulness, all in the name of Jesus Christ. That's good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Guys, if you, and by the way, let me help you out here, right? Because people will be like, oh, I'll be good over here, and then I'll repent over here. Well, I didn't really mean it, but I'm going to go through the actions, and then I'm going to be good over here. I'll show myself to be good, but then I'm going to be really ugly over here. Let me tell you something, man. You're not of God. You're manipulating. You're deceptive. You're a liar. I mean, no, nobody in here. I'm just saying, like, if that actually were somebody out in the world, right? Listen, that you're not of God, because anyone of God would not do that stuff. And it's not that you're going to be perfect, because you're not perfect. And I'm not perfect. But what it means is that's what we're going to strive for. We're going to push for being Christ-like, not being perfect. Take that out of your vocabulary, but to be Christ-like. God said, be holy as I am holy. It's actually a requirement on us, because people go, I can't be holy. Oh, no, we can. If we decide to follow Christ and be Christ-like, we can. If we decide to follow ourselves and do what we want to do and the world wants to do, you're right, you can't. And the verse says, be holy as I am holy, is what God says. So now we have a reference point and we have a manual of what that looks like, which means now we're without excuse. And the problem is, since we're not self-controlled, we justify what holiness looks like. Or we justify this. Well, God loves me just the way I am, and he made me this way. No. He says, I saved you the way you are. I loved you the way you are. But now conform yourself to Christ. Don't stay the way you are. Don't stay the way you are. Listen, I didn't make you evil. I didn't make you to pursue evil. And I didn't make you to sin. I called you to righteousness and holiness and to not sin. And so you need to stop what you're doing. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, you think this right here. And some of you sitting here today, you think I'm insane. You're just being here because you're gracious to your loved ones. But you think I'm insane for preaching this gospel. And you know how I know that? Because God says that if you don't believe this, you don't believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're going to think this is foolishness. And you're going to think anyone preaching it is foolish. How can they believe that? How can anybody do that? How can anybody follow Jesus? That's unrealistic. It's only unrealistic if Jesus isn't your God. It's only unrealistic if they don't know God, don't know the things of God. And now all of a sudden you're swimming upstream when everyone else is going downstream. And so you're the crazy one. Nobody goes upstream. It takes too much effort. It's too much work to go against the current. Relax. Get on a tube and just float with the world. Life will be grand. And it might be grand for a short time. But what happens when you got to face Jesus eye to eye? When you got to look at God and answer for everything you've done, then what happens? And by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but this window is a short window of life. Man, I got done working yesterday, physical labor work. And I get home and I sit down in a chair and all of a sudden my body goes, stay here. Like I reclined and my body says, stay in this position. Do not move. So then I had to get up out of the chair and my body was like, no. And I thought, man, you know, when I was 20, I could jump up and run, sleep 3 hours a day. And man, I'm 21 hours. I could work like a crazy man and do this day in and day out. Now I do it and my body's like, I hate you. Talking yesterday, how we were riding motorcycle for 35, 40 years. And Daryl and I were talking and Daryl's like, you know, the reality is you can't ride like that when you get older. You know, your reactions aren't the same. But as men, we're not smart enough to realize that until we're laying in bed going, why did I do that? Age will creep up on you. Your mind still, look, my mind says I am 25 years old. I don't have hair. I did it 25. But I ignore that part. I can do it. And then I realize I can't. And so I got done. I took my boots off last night and was walking and my plantar fasciitis started acting up. And all of a sudden I'm like dragging my leg. Oh my goodness. And so my wife looks at me, is your foot bothering you? No. Guys, I'm telling you, this life is short. And you need to choose this day whom you will serve, because one day, you're not going to be able to do what you could do. And you need to understand what's important. And we're not promised tomorrow. I just did a funeral last week the week before for a 28-year-old. I promise you, he didn't close his bedroom door that night thinking he wasn't waking up in the morning. Life is short. And we can live like the world and we can act like the world, but it brings forth death, the Bible says. It's only the things of God that last. It's the only things of God that are going to be blessed, and it's only through Jesus Christ. And so we have to decide one day, who are we going to serve? And even if we're mocked and condemned, who are we going to serve? And churches are people that are looking for feel-good churches. They're not going to tell you this. And I don't tell you this to offend you. I don't tell you this to make you mad. I don't tell you this so you don't like me anymore. I tell you this because the word of God says one day every man is going to have to face God and give an answer for what he's done. And the only way we're out of it is if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's not an easy pass to just go right on through. That's Jesus saying, I'll pay your price. You deserve death and hell, but I'm going to pay that price for you. So if you believe in me, you're forgiven. But if you don't, you're going to pay the price. And I'll tell you this, if you go, well, I'll believe in Jesus. And that way, if I believe in Jesus, I'm free from all this. And I just keep living the life I want to live. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't work that way either. The Bible says God is not mocked. You can't fool him. He says that we stand before him as naked. I know, scary thought, but that's what he says, right? You can't hide anything. And so we're going to give an answer to this. And that is why we need to be good and we need to stand for Jesus, even if persecution comes, and it will come. It will come. I'm already seeing in America things starting to slow down for God. Amen. And so if you are zealous for God, it will produce good works, and those good works will show Jesus Christ. And so he says, do what is good, right? Then in verse 14, it says this. 1 Peter 3:14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. What? What do you mean, going to jail, I'm blessed? Right? That's not what he's talking about. He says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Who are there? Who's the their threats? It's the unbeliever, the government, anyone who does not agree with the word of God or your lifestyle in Christ. And the crazy part is, people will sit down and be quiet just because someone says, you make me uncomfortable to say the name Jesus. People will sit down and be quiet, not even because they asked you, but you've perceived that they'll be uncomfortable and you don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. People will be quiet, not even because it'll make someone uncomfortable, but because you're uncomfortable with your position in Christ. You're uncomfortable because you're thinking, instead of what will God think of me, you think, what will they think of me? Which shows your position in Christ. If nothing else, it shows your walk in Christ isn't worth diddly or bow. Some of you will get that. But he says, even if you should suffer righteousness, for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Not suffer, but suffer for the cause of Christ. Suffer for the things of God. That's for righteousness. Do not be afraid of their threats. Do not be troubled. Because I'm going to tell you, if you have a passion for goodness, you're not guaranteed that you won't suffer. And it may only make it more unlikely or less frequent, but it's not guaranteed that you won't. Jesus went about doing good, and we need to emulate him. Acts 10:38. In Acts 10:38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Now, what are we promised if we believe in Jesus Christ? Power and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have the same thing that God has given Jesus. We have within us, if we are a believer in Christ, to do what? To go out and do good, because God's anointed us. But if we surrender and cower to their threats, whoever they are, you're letting go of God's anointing on your life. And that anointing is just an empowering. No, there's no need to be afraid. So he says here, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now Jesus healed in a physical manner. And guys, we can't do that. Like, I can't go up and go, Todd, whatever you got wrong with you, buddy, you're healed. God bless you. I can't do that. I don't have that kind of power. But what kind of power do I have? Hey, Todd, you struggling in life, buddy? I know someone that can help you. Let me share Jesus Christ with you. See, I'm empowered and I can heal him by giving him Jesus, giving him the truth, giving him opportunity, showing him there is another way other than the world, which is going to just constantly drain us. Here's Jesus who says, I will fill you. I will empower you. But we have to take a stand like Jesus did. John 10:32. In John 10:32, Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father, for which of those works do you stone me? Because remember, I told you they wanted to kill Jesus, and all he did was good. Don't think that they're not going to want to stone you because you're doing good. Oh, I'm a good person. They'll accept me. Not if you're good in Jesus, just if you're good in their way. See, there's a huge difference. Do not be deceived. And so Jesus says, listen, I've done many good works and I've shown you that this is from my Father. And so if you want to see what good is, look how Jesus walked and look what Jesus did. Now, by the way, what you also find is Jesus didn't cower down. Jesus didn't back up when people were offended. He just kept marching forward with the truth. And he loved them, and he flipped over tables, and he got in their face and said, you're of your father, the devil. He wasn't politically correct. He was just honest, and he was kind. And sometimes kindness looks like telling the truth. Kindness looks like Jesus. And to a dying world, they don't want to hear that kind of kindness. To a dying world, they say, kindness is you accepting me, you accepting my lifestyle, you accepting what I do, you allow me to do wrong, and you look the other way. And yet, listen, kindness is you not attacking me. That's kindness. That's good. And you, that's what a Christian should do. That's not what a Christian should do. As a matter of fact, the Bible says we're to call out people. Not publicly, but we're to go to them. Todd, you're just my man today. Todd, what are you doing, buddy? You know better. Like, what's your issue, man? We need to talk. Why are you doing that? That's kindness. I love him enough to say, hey, dude, stop wrecking your life. Stop doing what you're doing. I love my girls enough to be their dad, not their friend. That's kindness. That's being like Christ. And they still wanted to kill Jesus, by the way. Luke 23:23-25. But they were insistent. This is Jesus now in front of Pilate, and they're wanting to kill him. And you got the three criminals, if you will, Jesus being one of them by them, even though he wasn't. And they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and these chief priests prevailed. And they were even like, give us Barabbas, who was a murderer and a thief. Give us Barabbas, but kill Jesus. See, the world doesn't want good. The world wants what they want, regardless if it's good. Because in their brain, it is good because they're getting their own way. Only to realize that what was sweet to the tongue is bitter to the belly, the Bible says. You might get what you want, only to find out it's really not what you wanted. See, sin has a way, and Satan has a way of convincing us, this is good, this is good, this is good. Because what does it do? It appeals to our flesh. It appeals to our eyes. It appeals to our pride. And so we go after it because it's good. Man, it's good. It's everything I want. Only to find out in it, when we unwrap it, lies death. Maybe death of the spirit. Maybe death of the flesh. Maybe death of the soul, which is separation from God for eternity. But they said it prevailed. Verse 24. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. Here's the interesting thing about this. Pilate already looked at them and said, in this man, I find no fault. He's not guilty of anything. Why do you want to kill him? He's not guilty. There's nothing here. There's nothing here. Kill him, kill him, kill him. And he's like, all right, you know what? He's yours. I wash my hands of this. But let me tell you something. He wasn't innocent because he's the one that made the decision ultimately. And the power was in his control to say, no, he is innocent and I will not commit him to death. And he's like, my hands are clean of this. No, Pilate, you're guilty. You're guilty because you had the power to do what was right. You're guilty. Go to verse 25, please. And he released to them the one they requested, which was Barabbas, who was a rebellious murderer and had been thrown into prison, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And what's the world saying? Christian, you be quiet. You sit down. You're part of the problem. Everything was doing great because we were getting what we want. And then you start getting up and you start going against abortion and you start going against same-sex marriage and you start going against homosexuals and you start going against the LGBTQIA and you start going against, everything that they say we're going against is what God says he's against. And everything that we say we're going against is perversion. And they want it. The world wants it. I'm not happy, so I'll go find what I want. Rather than, hey, let's just fix what's there. Let's just do what's right. Hey, how about this? How about I do what's right, you do what's right, and man, this is going to be good. Nope. What do? We give the world what they want. And I'm telling you guys, Peter's saying, listen to me. You're going to be, if you stand for Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be persecuted. I was talking with someone and they said, hey, I know these people said that you're not a real minister. But I'm not. And I was like, okay. let me help you out for those who are struggling with this service today. I went through 4 years of Bible college. And then I sat in front of a panel of six men for 4 hours while they wore me out on what I believed, scripture. And then I was ordained. I didn't pay $63 for a license online to be a minister. Al Sharpton did, Jesse Jackson did, and I think Osteen did. I worked for it. I earned it. I took the time to learn Greek. Don't ask me to speak it because it will sound like gibberish. By the way, if you ever heard someone speak in Greek, it's a very harsh, in Hebrew, it's a very harsh language. It always sounds like you're trying to hawker. That's what it sounds like. I don't do it. At any rate. But I spent 4 years in school to learn this. I spent 2 years of that 4 years to learn how to break down the Greek, the original language. I paid my dues. I earned what I have. But because someone doesn't like what I've got to say, I'm not popular. And I'm okay with that. I'm really okay with that. Man, if you like me, you like me. And if you don't, you don't. I can't change it. And the minute I become what you want me to be, it won't be enough after a much time. You'll want more. And I will have to compromise and compromise and compromise to keep up with your changing ever thoughts. And that's the world. I'm telling you, if you love Jesus, stand for Jesus. And the world isn't going to like it, and they're going to hand you over to be persecuted. Did you not find it interesting that when COVID hit, they shut down all the churches, but they opened up the casinos? Did anybody not notice this? We shut down the churches and attacked the churches and pushed hard, and a lot of them had to close because they didn't have the money to fight. To fight a legal battle that wasn't even theirs to fight. I'm telling you, there were dozens of churches in the capital region and all around that closed because they couldn't fight the battle. But yet you could go to a casino and gamble all your hard-earned money so you didn't have enough to feed your children. That was okay. It's illegal. I mean, it's legal now to do drugs, right? And spend all your hard-earned money to get a buzz, and we'll give you a medical card because that's okay. And some of you, listen, some of you legitimately use it the way it's intended for medicinal purposes, but many just use it to abuse it. Which seems to be anytime we can get a pass to do wrong, we take it. But then we want forgiven from everything we've done without actually offering forgiveness or even changing our lifestyle. Guys, I'm just telling you that if you do it the world's way, they're going to be happy. If you do it God's way, you just might get handed over to be punished. Jesus even said that you may not be able to escape all the punishment. Matthew 10, 24 through 25. It says this: a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. Verse 25, please. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call you of his household? In other words, he's like, because if you remember, they called Jesus Satan. He's like, you're of your father, the devil. If they're going to do that to him, how much more are they going to do that to someone who follows Jesus? Luke 6:22. In Luke 6:22, blessed are you when men hate you. What? What do you mean I'm blessed? Yeah, because God's looking at you favorably because men hate you because you love him. That's what it's talking about, right? So we don't want to take it out of context. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake or for Jesus's sake. That's what it's talking about. So if you're living for Christ and someone hates you and they mock you and they revile you, listen, blessed you are. Because you have God's favor. And if you don't have man's favor, it's okay, because I'm going to tell you, man's favor comes and goes. It's always fleeting. I don't know if you know that, right? You go from hero to zero in about 2 seconds. Okay, I feel that anyway at times. Pastor, I love you. The next week, Pastor, I don't like you. I mean, I get it. I'm telling you, I know. I'm just telling you, I experience it too. But you don't hear me not preaching the gospel. And when I'm out in the world, you don't see me not preaching the gospel. I remember I went for a job being for hospice at one of the hospitals, and they wouldn't hire me. And I said, can I ask why? You're too strong in the Bible. I used to do funerals all the time. I unless I know the family, I don't do funerals except for if I'm requested. Now, I'm not requested by name, but I used to do funerals all the time. Sometimes on a weekly basis, I'd get a phone call. Hey, we need someone to do a funeral. Will you do it? Absolutely. And so I'd go and do the funeral, and I'd call the family and learn about the loved one, and that, because I wanted to do them honor and justice, right? And then all of a sudden, they quit calling me. I haven't done a funeral by a phone call. Hey, and they need people to do funerals, which is really funny, right? But they won't call me. And so one day I went over and I asked them, because I know the funeral director, and I'm like, dude, why don't you guys ever call me? It's been over a year. Now it's been like 3. And he said, people don't want to hear what you've got to say. And I go, what is it that I'm saying they don't want to hear? He goes, here's what you need to do. And if you want us to call you, this is what we want. You said about 15-minute feel-good encouragement, leave the Bible out, and we'll call you. And I go, daggone, man, it looks like you're never going to call me. And it's been 3 years now. Right? Leave the Bible out, we'll call you. Listen, when you're facing death and you're looking at a loved one and you realize that you one day will die, I need more encouragement than a feel-good poem. And that's what he wanted me to give. And I'm like, man, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And so if they revile you and cast you out and name you as evil because you love Jesus, blessed are you. John 15:20. In John 15:20, remember the word that I said to you. This is Jesus speaking. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also, right? So if you're in agreement with scriptures and then I speak scripture, you're going to go, Pastor, great. You're right on. Thank you. But if you don't agree with the scriptures and I preach scriptures, you're going to go, I don't like that dude. And you'll find more than one reason to not like me. And you might even put it on Facebook if I'm lucky enough. 2 Timothy 3:12 says this. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. People have told me, Pastor, I don't ever have problems from people. I don't ever suffer persecution. What are you doing? You're bringing it on yourself. All who desire to live godly. If you don't suffer persecution from the world, guess what you're telling me? You don't live godly. You're like, oh, you can't judge me. I didn't judge you. I read the Bible. And then Hebrews 12:3-4. For consider him who endured such hostility. Who's him? Jesus. If you notice, it's capitalized. For consider Jesus who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Listen, remember that our Lord and Savior went through the same junk that we're going to go through. And remember, he conquered the grave and he conquered death and he conquered hell, and we have the same promise. Remember. Remember when you get discouraged, and remember when you feel like you can't go on. Jesus went through it and he lived, and he promises the same for those who believe in him. But if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't go to heaven. And you say, well, I'm a good person, but we kind of looked at what good was. Are you really good? And here's the other thing. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Will you mention every name but Jesus? How about this when you talk about God? I love this when people go, yeah, me and the big man upstairs, we're good. We're friends. We're cool with each other. No, you're not. No, you're not. It's kind of like the street Bible. Anybody ever hear of the street Bible? Yeah, Jesus came over to my crib and we were hanging out, and that's the street Bible. It's like Jesus does. He didn't show up at your crib. Are you kidding? See, the reverence is gone. If you're not reverencing Jesus Christ and you're not lifting God on high and you don't say, man, my Savior Jesus Christ and my Father which is in heaven, not the big guy upstairs. I find that so offensive. Because what it tells me is you either don't know Jesus as your Savior, or you have no relationship like you should, because that is the most disrespectful thing you can say, the big guy upstairs. He's the Father. And so when we look at this, Jesus says, or the Bible says, don't be discouraged. You remember what Jesus went through when you feel like it's too much to go through. Peter points it out in many passages of his writing. And I'm going to tell you, in 5:10, 1 Peter 5:10, but may the God of all grace, yeah, I jumped way ahead, sorry. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Do you know why those who are really just rooted in Jesus don't get twisted up when life goes all twisted? Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Do you know why the world will call on a Christian who lives a Christian lifestyle when trouble comes into their world? Because this is what they see. This is what they see. They see Jesus and they see hope, and they call on that hope because there's nowhere else to call. And then Jesus comes in, and he settles us, and he strengthens us. Let me encourage you that yes, you're going to go through trials. Yes, people are not going to like you when you believe on Jesus, and they'll like you even less when you start living like you love Jesus, and they'll like you even less when you tell them about Jesus. Expect it. That way there's no surprises here. But what happens if one day they run into trouble and they call you for the answer and you give them Jesus and they get saved and they get baptized and they're no longer living the life that they used to live, and myself included, amen? Amen. How many here, you believed unto Jesus and you are not the same guy as the day before you believed unto Jesus, or the same woman? How many here, amen? That's what I'm talking about. So if you want that, if you want success, if you want God to bless you, if you want God to touch you, if you want the blessings of God, then you got to stand for Jesus if you know Jesus as your Savior. And if you don't, you can't stand for Him. Not for long. The pressures will be too much. But if you stand, He will make you perfect. He will establish you, strengthen you, and He'll settle you. And that word settled means in your soul. You could be setting in the eye of the storm and your heart rate won't even go up. That's settled. I don't know about you, but I love that. I love that when the world's going crazy, I don't have to. I love that when God puts His hand on me and He puts His hand on you, we can calm right down. If you're anxious, that's not of God. If you have anxiety, that's not of God. Matter of fact, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. So that's how we know it's not of God. Guys, I'm just telling you certain things that you need to look at and you need to see so that you can land and go, okay, is Jesus my Savior or am I playing a game? Do I really believe? Am I not interested? This is how we know. This is how we know. And I pray that one day, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that it changes. And I pray today is the day. And if you do know Jesus, but you're ashamed of Him, that it no longer is, that you will stand for Him today. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're ashamed of Him, Jesus says He'll be ashamed of you. If you deny Him before men, Jesus says the God the Father will deny you. Which means you don't go to heaven because you don't believe. Because the Bible also says once you taste the goodness of Jesus, you'll never walk away from it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for today. Thank You for Your word. Father, thank You for the beginning of a new year. Lord, may we be encouraged to stand strong for You. Father, may we be encouraged to live for You. Father, may we be strengthened when we do, and when persecution comes, Father, that we're settled, that we can just sit in the eye of the storm knowing no matter what happens, it's good because You are good and You are in control. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity. I also want you to understand that, listen, you can't make a head decision. It's got to be a heart decision. The Bible says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It is with the heart that you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross, conquered death and hell, and raised again on the third day. It's with the heart. And so if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you want to surrender to Christ, I want you to pray this prayer with me. The prayer is not magical. The words are not magical. It's just kind of a roadmap to guide you through so that it gives you a timestamp where you can say, this day I gave my life to Jesus Christ. This day I settled it with God. So if it's your desire to give your life to Christ, you pray this prayer quietly to yourself. Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe that You are the Savior of the world. I believe that You are the only way to heaven. today I surrender all. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. I believe you conquered death and hell. I believe that you're at the right hand of the Father. Today I ask you to forgive me of all my wrongdoing, all the sin that I've ever done. I ask you to forgive me. Today I repent. I will turn from the way that I'm walking, which is in sin and the world, and I will turn, I will repent, and I will walk toward you. Jesus, today I surrender my life to you. Use me as you will. With every